Grandma used to pray out loud by your bed every night. To me it sounded like mumbling, like she was out of her mind. She said, boy, this kind of praying, it's what saved my life. You ought to try it sometime. And now I know she was right. She was talking to Jesus. She was talking to Jesus. And she'd been talking to Jesus for all of her. Mama used to drag me to church Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Khaki pants and a polo shirt, boy, I put up a fight. She said, son, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life. And yeah, I know she was right. Yeah, my mama was right, 'cause now I'm talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. Yeah, my mama was right, 'cause now I'm talking to Jesus. Yeah, I love talking to Jesus. And I'll be talking to Jesus the rest of my life. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Don't you know? What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Whoa. I've got three of my own now, trying to raise them upright. My oldest is 15, and I remember what that was like. Trying to deal with the trauma, trying to figure out the questions in life. And I've been looking for a way to show him how to make it all right. Then he walks in my room while I was singing my prayers the other night. He said, I'll come back later, I can tell you got a lot on your mind. I said, it's not an interruption, couldn't have picked a better time. 'Cause I was just talking to Jesus, come over and give it a try. We started talking to Jesus. It's more like a friendship. So
Just talk to your father like you are his kid. Just start talking to Jesus. Just start talking to Jesus. 'Cause you can talk to Jesus. Oh, whenever you like. Just start talking to Jesus. Just start talking to Jesus. Just keep talking to Jesus the rest of your life.
What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Are you talking to Jesus? Are your children talking to Jesus? Are you talking to Jesus? Are you continuing the domino chain and allow God's grace to explode in you and to shape you and to shape your family? Would you please stand with me for the hearing and the reading of our gospel message that comes to us this morning from Mark's gospel, the 5th chapter, verses 21 through 43. Hear these words. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. I want to stop here for a second because last week, we were reading another gospel message that preceded this where Jesus was asleep in the boat. Remember that? He was asleep in the boat at the stern of the boat, the back of the boat, and there was this huge storm that came up and his disciples were afraid for their very lives. And they wake him up, "Aren't you concerned that we're about to drown?" And he talks to them about how little faith they have because they were already in the grip of God's grace. And yet he quieted the storm and he quieted the waves. And they were on their way here. So when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Jesus never gets any rest. You ever notice that? The one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet He pleaded earnestly with them, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they had said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with them and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. And then he told them to give her something to eat. And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. And I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of grace, God of glory, God of promises, and God of promises kept, we thank you always for the gift of your holy word. For your word is there to shape us, to transform us, to turn us into the people that you created us to be. People of grace, people of life, people who make a difference in the world. And so, Lord, we ask that you would take these words that we have heard today from 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, and Mark's gospel and emblazon them upon each and every one of our hearts, that we might be transformed by these words and that we might become the people that you desire us to be. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For this in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. I love this piece of scripture today. One of the things I love about it is, poor Jesus. You know, Jesus is ministering over there. He gets tired. He gets in a boat. He says, "Let's go over to the other side. We got work to do." He goes to sleep. He needs some rest. He also needs to be with the Father, and he needs to be in communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he's doing that all the time. But Jesus, in the midst of going over to the other side to be in ministry, as soon as he gets out of the boat, there's this crowd. They're right there. They're pressed around him. But there's this synagogue leader who heard about Jesus, who has a real need that he can't take care of himself. And he wants to go to Jesus and ask Jesus to heal his daughter. Now think about it. This man is among Pharisees and Sadducees and people like that, that they're going against Jesus. They don't understand who he is. They don't really know yet who Jesus is. And yet he comes right to Jesus, kneels at his feet, asks for the help, and Jesus is...
Once again, thank you for joining us in worship today. And remember, our prayer is that you would be blessed and strengthened by the power of Jesus Christ in your life, and that you would live a life of abundance and fellowship, joy, and liberty. Holiday Park Church is here for you, and we are more than the church. We are a fellowship of believers coming together to declare the glory of the Lord and celebrate Jesus as King. We study the Word, we practice what we learn, and in the process, we grow together, all to the glory of God. May God richly bless you.
Here are these people, they're pressed in around him. He's on his way to go see the synagogue leader's daughter, who is dying, 12 years old. And you think about 12 years old, what's the significance of the 12 years? Well, in the Hebrew culture of the day, this girl would be getting ready to be married. I mean, she's a couple of years away from betrothal. And you think about Mary, who, when she gave birth to Jesus, was about 14 years old, somewhere around there. So her whole life was in front of her, and her father wanted the best for her, and he wanted her to live the full life. And so he asked Jesus for this help. She's 12 years old. But in that crowd, pressing in around him, is a woman who has been suffering for that entire life of that girl. Think about it. 12 years of suffering with one, and 12 years with this little girl facing death. The crowd is pressed in around Jesus. They're all touching him. Everyone's touching him. They're moving in a like amoebas. And all of a sudden, someone reaches out and touches him in a certain way. When I read the scripture, I'm reminded of my aunt Rosalina Felici Saad, my godmother, my aunt, my dad's sister, who was the best cook, right, Dottie? She made everything. She made everything Italian, and she was married to a Syrian guy, my uncle Hal, Halim Saad. And she used to make grape leaves and fatay and all those kinds of things that I loved and I enjoyed growing up. Going to her house was a feast, no matter what it was, no matter whether it was Italian or Mediterranean. It was wonderful. And she made the best pizza as well. She worked for Pete's Bakery, and at Pete's Bakery, she would be behind the counter, and she was just a generous person, and she would always make the people in that community feel like they were family. But my Aunt Rose, if she was in a crowd, if we were at a feast, if we were at the bakery and she wasn't working that day and she had me in tow, she had this thing about her where she had to get to the front of the line, no matter how many people were in the line before her. And she would just kind of bull her way through, you know. And she was like about that tall, so she had no problem doing it. You know, she was like a little linebacker. She was like one of these little backs that carry the football, and you can't tackle them because they're so short and they got a low center of gravity. That was my Aunt Rose. And so she would lead the way, and I'd be in tow, and I'd be so embarrassed. I'd be like, oh, come on, Aunt Rose, these people are in front of you. I don't care, I'm gonna get to the front of that line. That's this woman who has been suffering for 12 years. The whole crowd's pressing in around Jesus, but she is not gonna be denied. She's gonna get to the front of that line, and she's just going to touch the hem of his garment. She says to herself, all I need but do is to touch the edge of his clothes. And when I do, I'll be healed. That's faith. That's faith. She has in her mind exactly what she needs, and she has the fortitude to go after it, and she knows that when she touches his garment, because he's for real, and he brings miracles, she knows that she's going to be healed. I love that. I tell people all the time when I'm invited into a hospital situation, someone's facing surgery, And the word for healing here is the word, it's a Greek word, sozo. And Jesus doesn't say, I healed you. He says, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. Sozo. And so when I go to hospitals and I pray with people, I tell them all the time, look, your job today is to trust. Your job today is to receive the grace that's already initiated. Your job today is to believe in the hospital that you're there for, the doctors that you have, the people that God has already sent their agents of grace, the big brothers, the big sisters, they're agents of grace on the ground that God has provided in his infinite wisdom, and they are there for you. And so I say to people all the time, all you need to do is but trust and allow your own body's healing properties to begin to take effect. If you go down to the Forbes Hospital here in our community, you'll see that they have handicap parking. And then right after the handicap parking, right there on the first level, is all these rows of places for spiritual care people, pastors, clergy. Why? They know, because they call us. They'll say, we have one of your people, one of your congregation here. Will you come and pray with them? And they understand that people that have faith heal faster than people that don't, because they're working with God and they're allowing their own properties that God has given us to join into the healing process. Sozo. This woman believes that all she has to do is touch the hem of his garment and she'll be healed, and she is. But immediately Jesus knows, someone's touched me, for the power has gone out of me. His disciples are saying, who touched me? He goes, really, Jesus? Look at this crowd. They're all pressed in around you. Everyone's touching you. No, I felt the power go out from me. And he scans the crowd. And he looks. And she knows it's her. And she goes to her knees and trembling in fear. Trembling in fear. Because she's been found out by this one that has provided this healing because of her faith. But look what Jesus does next. Such grace. Such power. He doesn't rebuke her. He lifts her up and he says, daughter, daughter, what grace. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Just then, people burst through the crowd because remember, he was on his way to heal another little girl. But guess what? She didn't make it. She's dead. They tell Jairus, hey, no use. Your daughter's already dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And Jesus says to them, he says to Jairus right then, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. And they continue on. And when they get there, there's these people wailing and crying because they just saw death. Normal mourning, they're mourning. And Jesus says, why all the commotion? Why all the wailing? Why all of this? This girl is merely asleep. Merely asleep. To me, that's reminiscent of a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Jesus going to see Lazarus. Remember that? Jesus is going to see Lazarus, and he tells his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Thomas says to him, well, if he's fallen asleep, he'll wake up, he'll be better. No, you don't understand, Thomas. He's dead. Dead. He uses the same word here for the girl. She's asleep. We are never dead to our God. We are always alive in our faith. Even if we die, yet shall we live, is what Jesus said when he came to raise Lazarus. That's what he was saying to his disciples just before he got over to the other side. Why did you have such doubt? Why is your faith so little? Don't you have faith? Even if they died, even if they had drowned, they would still be in the grip of his grace. They would still be okay. But he says this girl is merely asleep. And then, I love what he does, he separates the crowd. The non-believers, the ones that don't believe it can happen. He gets them out of the way. We don't need the negative thinking. We need positive thinking. He gets them out of the way. He pushes them out. He invites them out. But then he invites the people of faith in. He invites the father in. He invites the mother in. He invites Peter, James, and John. They all go in together. And just in a matter of moments, Talitha cum, little girl, wake up. And the scripture tells us that she gets up immediately and she begins to walk around. Some scripture says that she actually danced. Some actually say that she played. In other words, she was full of life. She was happy. She was alive. And it was their faith, along with Jesus doing, that made her whole. And what does Jesus say right away? I think Jesus is Italian. I think he's like my Auntie Rosalina. Because she would say to you, if you were sick or was eat something. She would make you something to eat. And Jesus says the same thing. Give her something to eat. Don't you just love it? Something big just happened. What are we going to do? We're going to eat. I think he was Methodist too, right? Because that's what we do. Listen. God is good all the time, and all the time, and he is able, and he wants to heal, and he wants to make a difference in your life, but not only in your life. We're blessed to be a blessing in this world, and just like these dominoes that were set up here in a chain, we have effect on other people's lives as we live our faithfulness in the world, and other people that know us will know that our God is not only able, but our God is God, all to God's glory. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord God Almighty, that is who you are, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. And you say to us, don't be afraid, just believe. Lord, we believe. We have seen your hand at work in our own lives. We have seen your hand at work in the lives of the people around us. We have seen you heal miraculously, even when all hope seems to be lost. You are able. You are able. And we give thanks for it. In Jesus' name, we pray to you and we give you thanks for the healing and the health and the wholeness that we have in you. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.